Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you today. I know today is an exciting day for many of us. If we're associated with the school, we know that there's a week of break, maybe some time to catch up on grading papers or things like that. If you're a student that's still around, I'm not sure why you are. But you should be, heading home, going to see your family, and taking some time off, getting ready for the last bit of the semester and the finals and things like that. It is a time period for us to be thankful, to remind ourselves that sometimes we should stop and to be grateful. And we do that on Thanksgiving, and even before that day's ended, we forget about it and go try to buy everything that we can on Black Friday. But we think about thankfulness, and some of us do so in different ways. Erin has done an excellent job this year trying to remind our kids to be thankful. She made this turkey that every day we add a feather to. And on these feathers, we write something we're thankful for, and I'll draw a picture and we'll put it up. And it's just a good reminder to the kids every day that we need to be grateful for the things that we have. We need to be thankful for what God has blessed us with. And I'm not sure how it is that your family remembers the things you're thankful for. As a kid, my dad would make us go around the table before we could eat Thanksgiving dinner and say one thing that we were thankful for. Maybe you do something like that. But whatever it is, we have many reasons to be thankful. And as a church, as part of Jesus' kingdom, I think one of the things that we can be incredibly thankful for is the leadership that we have. The elders of the congregation here, the congregation that meets here in Henderson, we have a group of men that serves the congregation in a very special way. And it's very interesting when we look to the pages of the New Testament, we can be very thankful for good, proper leadership within the Lord's church. What I want us to do before getting into our primary text, the 1 Peter 5, is to turn over to Matthew chapter 20 and to look at a passage of Jesus' words. Now, we've been focusing on the writings of Peter this month of November, and 1 Peter 5 is an excellent place to think about leadership within Jesus' kingdom. But Jesus' own words give us kind of a format, a place to stop and to look and to see that things within the kingdom are very different than things outside of the kingdom. I don't know if any of you have ever had a boss that treated you poorly, or maybe somebody that had authority over you and used that authority in an inappropriate way to maybe manipulate you or maybe make you feel less than valued within whatever capacity it is that you were working. Jesus points out that leadership within the kingdom has to be different than leadership outside the kingdom. Let's read Matthew 20, starting in verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee, so this would be James and John, their mom, came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say to these two sons of mine, are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those who has been prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, that their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Within the world, when we think about how leadership looks, you do whatever you can do to get to the top and to stay at the top as long as you can. We see James and John somewhat embarrassingly getting their mom to try to get them a position at the top. And Jesus says, that's not how it works in my kingdom. If you want to see what the kingdom looks like, look at the king. And this king did not come to be served, though he deserved it. And though we now worship and we serve him with everything that we have, but at this point in his life, he had come to serve others, even giving himself up as a ransom for our sins on the cross. When we look in the Bible, those who want to serve, those who want to be a part of this leadership role within local congregations, are actually examples of service and actually examples of those who, while leading, are showing us how we ought to live. Now, it gets a little bit confusing. There's a lot of different words out there in the religious world for those who are working to be servants of the congregation in a leadership capacity. When we look to the Bible, however, these words for pastor and elder and bishop and shepherd, and you might be able to throw in a few more words there that you've heard people use, these are all different words that are actually used in the same leadership position. If we were to open up to our passage that's already been read, 1 Peter chapter 5, we read these words. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 and 2. Peter writes to the congregation there, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder." I think that's fascinating. Peter was an elder of a congregation himself. He says, "As a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." We actually see within the Greek language the three words here that are used all throughout the New Testament to speak of those who lead in that official capacity in the church. We see the word elder. We see the word, in verse 2, those who are shepherding the flock. That's where we get our word pastor or shepherd. And then we see at in the middle of that verse, those who exercise oversight. That would be an overseer or a bishop. Unfortunately, in the religious world today, many congregations, many churches have said, well, we have elders, but then we have a pastor. Or maybe we only have one pastor who's in charge of everything. Or maybe we'll have a bishop, and underneath him we'll have other people that do these things. And they might use these other names. When we look to Scripture, however, we see that these are all different roles. These are all the same job description, but different roles of that same job description. We see this again very clearly in Acts chapter 20. If you turn your Bibles to Acts 20, we see in Acts 20, verse 17, that Paul calls for the elders of the church in Ephesus. He gets them together because he knows it's going to be the last time he's going to see them. It's a very emotional time period. It says in verse 17, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he gave them this speech. He told them how much he loved them, how important it was that the church would continue to thrive there in Ephesus through their leadership. He warned them about wolves that would come in sheep's clothing, even among them. But if we go down to verse 28, we see the same words that we saw earlier. So we've seen the word elder. Now we're going to see the words for pastor and the words for overseer. It says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock," that concept of a shepherd, "in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." When we recognize the price that Jesus has paid for the church, his own blood, we recognize that the leadership and those leading the congregation need to be doing these right things. We realize how valuable it is. Those individuals can be called elders, they could be called pastors, they could be called shepherds, they could be called bishops, or maybe an out-of-date word we might not use. But generally, we've used the word elder, just because some of these other words have been used inappropriately by others who might try to say something wrong about what the Scripture teaches. When we think about this, we see elders, shepherds, and overseers. Elders emphasizes that these individuals offer wisdom from a position of experience, and that only comes by age. This cannot be somebody who's young, cannot be somebody who is new to the faith. We recognize that they are a shepherd of the congregation, that they protect the flock. We also recognize that they are responsible for feeding the flock, making sure that we are taught the word as we need to hear it. And as overseers, they need to be good at managing things to make sure that we are running effectively and efficiently as a congregation, taking care of certain aspects of money, perhaps, or other aspects of leadership that we know it takes a special person to do. Now, we recognize that elders aren't just doing one aspect of this. They have to fill each and every one of these roles. And so in doing that, Peter then points out that leaders in Jesus' kingdom need to be equipped, they need to be eager, and they need to be examples. If we turn back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and read verses 2 and 3, we'll read verse 2 again. "These individuals are to shepherd the flock of God that is among them, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly." Verse 3, "not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock." This is a different type of leadership than perhaps we might see in the world. What we see in the world sometimes is people that are happy to lead from behind. We might see this picture of someone with a whip saying, "You need to do what I tell you to do, and if you don't, then there's going to be some type of consequence." That's not what we see within the leadership of the Lord's church. We see someone leading from the front, someone that's not a boss, but is a leader, someone that's acting as someone that is out in front, and we can see their example and we can follow in their footsteps. It's really interesting sometimes the songs that are picked for a service and how quite often the preacher and the song leader don't coordinate in any way, but the songs always seem to work together really well. And I appreciate Brother Gary choosing the footsteps of Jesus. As Jesus walked, so our leaders walk in his footsteps and we follow and see their physical example and follow in those same footsteps. It's an incredible song to be thinking about. Some things we need to realize about our leaders is that they are equipped. They are people that have been chosen because they have the right qualifications. The New Testament tells us in two different places some things that the leaders of the church need to be involved in, some aspects of their lives that need to be approved by God. And we can see this in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus chapter 1. If you wouldn't mind, turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Look at a few of these characteristics of leaders in God's kingdom. Titus chapter 1, Paul tells Titus in verse 5, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I had directed you." As we can see from this passage and elsewhere, especially Acts 14, 23, this was the structure that God wanted his church to be set up in. He sends them the apostles, and the apostles send them these workers, Titus and Timothy and others, and they set up in every location that they go these elderships. Individuals that meet these qualifications that can serve God in this very specific way. We read in verse 6, if anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers, not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer, there's our word again, as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but he must be hospitable. He must be a lover of good, self-controlled, upright and holy and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. We recognize that these elders, these leaders in the kingdom, must be properly equipped because the job they have to do is incredibly important. There are souls on the line, and we see that they must be able to hold firm to this trustworthy word. And so not only are they equipped with these certain characteristics, these certain qualifications, we also recognize that they are eager. This passage points out, and I think Peter points out as well, that they are eager not to be in charge. They're not eager to hold that whip and to, you know, crack the whip over anyone who's not listening. They are eager to serve. They're eager to be an example to the congregation. They recognize the importance of it. Now, for those of us that are younger, I hope that we are aspiring to one day be able to be in the position of an elder. But not so that we can call the shots, not so that we can make the decisions and tell everyone else what to do, so that we can be more like Christ. Jesus was the good shepherd, and these individuals that serve us as our leaders are able to be shepherds of the flock. Not only equipped, not only eager, but they are examples to us. They serve in a very special capacity. As Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I think that's what our leaders in the congregation here are doing. We need to see Jesus living within them so that we can model their example, because we want to be like Christ. We want to be like him in his kingdom. Now, our last point, if we go back to 1 Peter 5, looking at verses 4 and 5, there is an accountability here that needs to be recognized. This is not a position of authority where no one is ever going to be checking in on you to see what you're doing. There is someone that is watching. And we see in verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. There is a great reward for those who are willing to be a part of this service. But we also recognize that there is someone who's watching what it is they do. And our elders here do an excellent job recognizing that fact. Verse 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Followers in Jesus' kingdom, we need to be submissive to our leaders because our leaders are being submissive to the Lord. This is not just the following of them blindly or following of them recognizing their authority. The authority that they have is derived from the position that's been given them by the Lord through the authority of Scripture. And his word comes from his Father. We're very grateful for that opportunity. We must submit to our elders. We must submit to our leaders because they submit themselves to God. The passage in Hebrews 13 verse 7 really points this out to us. Hebrews 13, verse 7 says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." I pray that every one of us will be someone that people can look to as an example and imitate our faith. But for our leaders, for our examples, these servants that serve us as elders, this is something that is absolutely non-negotiable, something that is very, very important. And we recognize that the chief shepherd is guiding all of us by his word and by his spirit, and that our shepherds are doing the best they can in doing that as well. We think about this final verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 that we read. We see that each one of us needs to be clothed with humility. Sometimes it is not all that easy to be told something to do, or to be realizing this is the direction in which the congregation needs to go because of what the word says. Sometimes we have maybe opinions that go against what perhaps our elders or people are telling us. We look at this passage, we need to be clothed with humility, not just the followers, but the elders as well. But it tells us that we need to be subject to the elders. It says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." One of the things I think we can be incredibly grateful for is that our elders do lead us from a position of service, a position of humility. So as we think about this as those of us who are followers, not every one of us is qualified to be an elder. What's really surprising, someone who wrote the most on eldership within the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he himself was not qualified to be an elder. There are some certain aspects of what it means to be a husband and what it means to be a father, and showing that you can raise those children to maturity and to faith in Christ, those are the types of men that God would have leading his people. And Paul didn't have a wife. Paul did not have any physical children, though he did have children in the faith. And when we think about that, there are certain people that meet those qualifications that will be leading us, and we have a responsibility to submit to them, to follow their lead. And it's not a lead of authority. It's not a lead of ruthlessness or anything like that, but they are loving us and showing us the example, showing us the way forward. I want to encourage our elders today. I want to encourage you to continue leading with humility, continue leading with a love for the scriptures and a love for God. I want to encourage the deacons, as we think about the position that you happen to be in, you've been given a special position of service to the congregation. I want to encourage you to be diligent in that service and one day be looking forward to the opportunity of perhaps serving as an elder. I want to encourage the members, I want to encourage every one of us that we follow our leaders, that we are humble, that we recognize God's plan for leadership, and that we submit to it, recognizing that this is the way that has been shown by Christ. If you happen to be visiting with us today, I want to encourage you to look in the scriptures and to see, why is it that certain churches are led in this way, or certain churches are led in that way? Why is it that we're focusing on the things that we are focusing on? I pray that you would please look to the example that we see in the scripture, and we look to the pattern of the New Testament, and that if you can't find something there within the scripture, that would be something that you would be willing to let go of, so that you can follow the scripture and what the Bible teaches us. I pray that our congregation here would be strong, that we would be thankful for all the good things that we have, including those who are our elders. So we move into the time period of thinking of the invitation. I want to ask, are we listening to the voice of our good shepherd? We have shepherds here that we must listen to, that we must follow, and we know that they care for our souls, but there's someone who cares for our souls, and his name is Jesus. As a picture on the screen kind of portrays a good shepherd holding that sheep, it reminds me a lot of the stories that we can read in Luke 15 or John 10 about this individual that loves those who follow him so much that he's willing to go out and put himself in harm's way to rescue us. It reminds me of the story of the prodigal son. It reminds me of the story of the lost sheep. Now, maybe someone sitting here in this audience today that has gone away from the Father, gone away from his love, and gone away from the security that he offers. We want to urge you and beg you, please come back. Please submit yourself once again to this shepherd who loves you and who cares for you and wants you to be a part of his family and his kingdom. If there's anything that anyone needs today at all, if it's prayers of the church, if it's being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, whatever it is that you might need, please come forward today as we stand and sing this invitation song.